welcome to Beer Untapped with Perry Miller. The extreme seems to be the thing these days when it comes to craft beer. Most of the highest rated beers feature big, bold flavors, high alcohol levels, barrel aging, or maybe even all three of those. That means less love for some of the finest, most balanced beers out there. Revisiting the pale ale this week on Beer Untapped, Seth Cook at Wooden Lakes Brewing to Brookings.
It seems like where craft beer started, the origin of craft beer was the pale ale. Pale ale is the British, you know, I guess traditionally if we were to track it back, we would find its roots in the British Isles. The pale ale, when developed here in the United States or when it's interpreted by U.S. brewers, ended up having a lot more hops in it, a lot of the American-style hops, but started with a base beer. I mean, a pale ale, in my opinion, is one of the best judges of character of a brewery that you go into, because you can't overlook your pale ale.
He believes a brewery's pale ale can tell you a lot.
Pale ale is really the testament from a brewer to say, this is our middle of the road. This is how we like beer. This is what defines us. The pale ale usually contains the house yeast, their most common house yeast. The pale ale usually contains malts that they keep around a lot, and they'll build on those malt bills. Maybe they'll add some more to get to a stout, or they'll tweak it to get to a red. And then it usually contains the brewer's favorite hops. So a pale ale is a really strong indicator of kind of how the rest of the portfolio will fold out.
An American pale ale generally strives towards balance.
Absolutely. It needs to be balanced. It can't be, you don't want to drink it and drift into the IPA realm. Although some of the American pale ales do. And again, that's probably a testament to the brewer. If you look at like Odell's 5-barrel, that's actually a pretty good indicator of how the rest of their line is. They're very British inspired, not real funky, not real crazy. That's just kind of their flagship, and they go from there. We could probably do a whole 6-pack plus another couple 6-packs just sipping through the pale ales that exist. And it's fun because if you sip those, you will see. You'll see the viewpoint of a brewery. You'll kind of see the starting point. And it's not to say the pale ale is boring. They're certainly not. They're great beers, but they really serve as kind of a centering, kind of a balance to where we're going to go with the stouts or the IPAs or even the really weird stuff. So the pale ale, this is, I guess, to your listeners, if you're going to a brew pub, try their pale ale. Try their pale ale first and just put that as part of your flight.
He points to their own fine pale ale, Split Rock Creek, and what it says about wooden legs.
Our pale ale, we use a blend of hops from the Pacific Northwest. A lot of the hops start with the letter C, so there's a lot of that. We also use our house ale yeast, fermented at kind of our normal ale temperatures. And then we use our favorite 2-row malted barley for it. It's kind of the base malt. And then we add just a couple other caramels in it. So it's not meant to be really heavy. It's not meant to be really extreme in the hops. But it is a good kind of just a glimpse behind the door to see what a brewer likes to use.
More on the pale ale when Beer Untapped continues.
Bless my lips when that bottle tips. I wish I had a Sierra Nevada. I wish I had a Sierra Nevada.
Welcome back to Beer Untapped with Perry Miller as we encourage you to revisit the pale ale. The American pale ale is a descendant of the British pale ale, which is a little bit different, starting with the hops. American pale ales tend towards citrus and piney hop flavors for the most part.
The British pale ale is going to be a lot less hoppy. They use more of the traditional British bittering and flavoring hops, which are going to give you earthy and grassy tones.
Maybe some spice.
Not nearly as floral, not to say they're boring again. And usually there is a little bit more malt-centric. It definitely doesn't have the same flavors as a bitter that you'd find in. You know, they use a little bit more of the bittering hops for British styles, but the pale ale, it's all about balance.
There are wonderful pale ales readily available in South Dakota from around the country. Sierra Nevada Pale Ale is a classic and is really responsible for starting the American hoppy beer trend. Other outstanding pale ales easy to find include Mirror Pond from Deschutes, 8-Bit from Tallgrass out of Kansas, very nice. And there's a couple new to South Dakota this year that are amazing. Pseudo Sue from Toppling Goliath and Oscar Blues Dale's Pale Ale.
You could probably spend a whole month of Saturdays just drinking through pale ale selections. And I don't think you'd be disappointed in any of them. I would take notes on your pale ale and just say, this is how that brewery works. Don't ignore the pale ale just to jump into the crazy and extremes. The pale ale has been a linchpin of the craft beer industry. It's a great beer, and it's a great way to kind of see the viewpoint or even understand a brewery in just 12 ounces.
Lots of great pale ales available at Brookings Liquor Store and some tasty new brews this week. Let's check in with Drew Eklund. He says they have a couple of new tap beers out of Sioux Falls for your growler fills.
From Fernson, it's their blonde ale, 17 cents an ounce. This is a really good, easy drinking beer, slightly hoppy with flavors of lemon and pepper. The next one I have is from Hydra. It's called Unholy Vanilla Sweet Stout, 18 cents an ounce. This is a dessert beer that, you know, doesn't overwhelm, so it's easy to enjoy seconds or thirds. Flavors of vanilla, sweet, chocolate, coffee, caramel, good stuff.
Also, among the new packaged beers at Brookings Liquor, a couple of IPAs.
From Mankato Brewery, it's called Mad Butcher IPA, $10.99 a six-pack. This is an unfiltered IPA. Mad tropical fruit flavors. Citrus zest and a touch of honey. The last one I have is from Sierra Nevada, from their Beer Camp series. It's their tropical IPA, $8.99 a six-pack. This is a fruit-forward IPA. Citra, Mosaic, and El Dorado hops were used to create bright fruit-forward flavors of mango, papaya, and orange with a touch of spice and pine.
That sounds good.
It's delicious. It's absolutely delicious.
Finally today, darn near here, Nola Night. Saturday at Wooden Legs in Brookings, a celebration of New Orleans.
Nola Night, we've got live crawfish, mud bugs coming in. They were ordered. They are shipped for early a.m., so they arrive live, ready to go. We purge them here.
The day of.
We purge them and boil here. They literally get plucked from their sleepy slumber on Friday night and get sent on an airplane. And then, of course, we do the cornbread and we do the whole boil with all of the fixins. It's going to be awesome. We're going to try to see if we can get every one of our beers on tap that we've cellared away. The rumor is that we're going to have a very limited edition Outcast available that's been sitting with Oak for a while. So
I've heard about that.
We've been looking for a reason to do it. We may even find some Poganophilia to put on for that night. It is really just a good time. Come out. It's any of our food events. The only difference on this one is that you got to grab a ticket just because the crawfish are limited. Once we're out, we're out. We want to make sure everybody that grabs a ticket has a chance to grab food.
You can get your Nola Night tickets at Wooden Legs. That's it for today. Until next time, drink local and drink responsibly.